What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Gridiron Fantasy Football Podcast for Monday, September 20th, 2021. And I am Chip. I'm your host, and thank you so much for listening today. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for joining us as well. If you'd like to share our podcast, you can find us over on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and now on Pandora. You can also watch us over on YouTube at Gridiron Fantasy Football, so please do me a favor, hit subscribe so you don't miss any more episodes. And today we're going to be reacting to all the Week 2 matchups that took place this past weekend. Talk a little fantasy, obviously, and some news. But, I'm going to start off with this. I am not doing very well in fantasy this year. If you guys are long-time listeners to the podcast, last year I went undefeated, went 15-0, and was by far the epic part of my fantasy football career. But now in that same league, I am looking at 0-2, and I'm in like five leagues, and I only won like one week or one game. So not a very good fantasy start so far this year. I just feel like with my team, in my main league that I talk about mostly on this podcast, I lack the firepower in just the ceilings that I have for a lot of guys. I have Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs as my quarterback in my wide receiver duo. And it's just Josh Allen had touchdowns yesterday, and he got one called back because he like slid into the end zone. But I don't think that was going to really affect the outcome of this week anyways. I was going into my Sunday night game. I was already done. I had like 150.5 points or something like that. And then my opponent still had Kelce, and then he has Davante Adams tonight. Now, Davante Adams could go either way. He could completely bust this week, and I could win by a slim margin, or he goes off against the Lions, which I fully anticipate is the Lions. Debo Samuel went off last week on them. But even Dalvin Cook had a good game, had no touchdowns. I had played Cortland Sutton in my flex over Myles Gaskin. That was the right call. He had a good game. Mike Williams had a good game. Antonio Brown had a dud. I felt like Antonio Brown is a good person to start. We played three wide receivers in a flex, so you have to play who you can in the wide receiver position. And Antonio Brown, after what he did in week one against Dallas, the Falcons were a plus matchup for him, and he got one catch. So it's just one of those things where the upside that I have is just not there right now. I need my studs to do what they're doing. I'm not saying like Dalvin Cook didn't have a good game. He had over 100 some carries or 100 yards, and he's in a score. But it's just one of those things where to sustain any type of win in fantasy and have that firepower, you need touchdowns. And unfortunately, it just didn't play out for me this week, and we'll see. But just very lopsided so far this week in fantasy football. But let's get into some of the news that took place. A lot of injuries took place yesterday. And the main injuries are Carson Wentz. He turned his ankle on Sunday against the Rams. He didn't come back into the game, so he's going to be considered day-to-day. Like, we'll continue to monitor the situation and see what, his further diagnosis is. It is early Monday morning, so we don't know exactly all the details about that. I'm sure he'll get tests and all that. And I think more than likely he will play in week three, but it all depends on the severity of it. Tyrod Taylor, he was injured. He's dealing with a hamstring injury, so hamstring injuries are tough. He probably will, get some additional tests and then see how he feels. He'll be week to week. Tua, he left the game with a rib injury. Probably more than likely he's going to, it's all about tolerance, depending on how bad it is. We don't have any other reports. So it's kind of like with Darrell Henderson. Darrell Henderson hurt his rib as well. So I think that, I don't know, and the severities of the two might be different, but I do think that Darrell Henderson, for him, it's more of a, and Tua's gonna be more of a pain tolerance, and they'll probably do something to inject him and all that to kind of help, with pain symptoms. But we'll see how he is. But apparently, it's always stuff that we have to monitor throughout the week. So it makes Sony Michel a interesting ad for waiver wires. And then Andy Dalton, initial reports is that he injured his knee, and they don't think it's an ACL, so he'll be week to week. It looks like Justin Fields, though, this is his time. I don't think Andy Dalton will get a starting job back now that he's injured. because he'll probably miss, you know, some time. So if that's the case, Justin Fields is now the starter for the Chicago Bears. Jarvis Landry got injured yesterday as well. Trey Sermon finally got an opportunity to play. First carry, first fumble of his career, first concussion in the NFL. So, like, not good for Trey Sermon. Danny Amendola, he got injured. And then Jamichael Hasty, he was another player that got injured. So all these guys will be monitored throughout the week. And I'll have updates on Twitter and all that stuff based on the things that I see throughout the week, just to keep you guys informed. But let's move on to the top plays for week two. And let's start off with the fastest ball carry. And that goes to Quez Watkins of the Philadelphia Eagles. The wide receiver ran 21.62 miles per hour on his 91-yard reception. He just edged Melvin Gordon at 21.52. So this is the second week in a row that Melvin Gordon ended up on this list. I know Melvin Gordon was fast, but I didn't realize like he was like consistently fast like this. But he's on this list at number two. And the longest play, this goes to Jamal Agnew of the Jacksonville Jaguars. The wide receiver, he had a kickoff return of 102 yards, and he had to run a total distance of 129.2 yards on his kickoff return. So I believe that's the first kickoff return we've seen this season so far, so that's pretty cool. Always fun to watch those. The fastest sack, once again, that goes to Chandler Jones, outside linebacker. All right, let's move on to the top plays for week two. And let's start off with the fastest ball carrier. This goes to Quez Watkins. He is the receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. On his 91-yard reception, he ran 21.62 miles per hour. So looks like that is the top guy for this week. Henry Ruggs, he came in second at 21.42 on his 61-yard TD reception. So, pretty quick dudes out there, obviously. No, I don't like that. That was dumb. All right, let's just move on to the top plays for week two. And let's start off with the fastest ball carrier, and that goes to Quez Watkins of the Philadelphia Eagles. The wide receiver ran 21.62 miles per hour on his 91-yard reception. So kudos to him. I mean, that's not seeing Tyreek Hill on top of this list or anything like that. That's always a plus when it's not Tyreek Hill or someone like that. The longest play, this goes to Jamal Agnew of the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, he had a kickoff return for a touchdown yesterday, and he had to run 129.2 yards to get his 102-yard touchdown or his kickoff return. So it's always fun to watch kick returns happening in the NFL. I believe this is the first one of the season for the NFL, so it's always cool to see plays like that. It's always exciting to watch punt returns and kick returns for touchdowns. Now it's going on to the fastest sack of the day. That went to Bobby Wagner, the Seattle Seahawks. He got to the quarterback in 2.5 seconds. So just above Grant Delpit of the Cleveland Browns. He was a strong safety that got a sack in 2.54 seconds. So just a hair faster. Bobby Wagner's a hair faster than the Cleveland Browns safety. And then moving on to the improbable completion. So this is a stat where, you know, which play had the less likelihood of a completion, and that was Big Ben to Deontay Johnson. They had a 41-yard reception that had a catch probability of 12.9%. So they beat out Taylor Heineke and Ricky Seals-Jones for the week. And then let's go to the remarkable rushes. So this is a stat that Next Gen Stats does for what yards you will get, the expected yards compared to the over-expected yards that you rushed over-expected. So that was the Derrick Henry. So Derrick Henry had a monster game yesterday against the Seahawks. You know, he had a 60-yard, he rushed for 60 yards. And he's only expected to get 6 yards, so he ran 54 yards over-expected. So Derrick Henry had a quiet week one, and then week two, he just blows up for like 47.7 like PPR points. So big day from him. So those are the top plays of the week provided by Next Gen Stats. Now let's go ahead and recap all the games that took place in week two. I'm sorry. So let's start off with the Thursday night game, right? So we had Giants versus Washington. Washington came out and won this 30-29. The interesting thing about this game was that Daniel Jones, he looked good. He looked good in a sense of like as a rusher, you know, he threw the ball, 32 times. He had 249 yards and a touchdown. He led the team in rushing with 95 yards and 9 attempts with a touchdown. Taylor Heinicke, he had a good game. He had 336 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception. He gave another 4, four attempts on the ground for 6 yards. But the thing is like that. I guess the biggest reaction to this is Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley rushed 13 times for 57 yards, and he had his 41 yard run. But then, you know, he averaged 4.4 yards a carry. But it just seems like Saquon Barkley is just not back to what we expect from Saquon Barkley. Now I know like they're trying to ease him back in and everything like that, but it just seems like, I don't know. I'm wondering if Saquon Barkley is just not the talent that we got when he was a rookie. I'm just wondering with the injuries, like he had high ankle sprain 1 year, he had the ACL last year. Like I'm just wondering if these things are catching with him where he's just not the same back. And I'm gonna be positive about this and think he still is. It's just he still needs to get back into football shape and kind of get that muscle memory back. And you know, a lot of ACL injuries, right? I've worked with a lot of ACL injuries. A lot of it too is not the physical component of it. It's the mental part of it. So he structurally is sound, strong, good to go. But it's just that mental game that gets in your head is that you're afraid to cut or you're afraid to do a lot of things just because you get a little apprehensive because you're afraid that you're going to do something re-injure it. So not saying that's exactly where he's going, but I just know from an aspect when I've seen athletes with ACL tears that it definitely is a thing they think about. And hopefully by, you know, throughout the first month of the season, he's still going to be the Saquon Barkley that we all remember. And that's the thing, like I was saying in the podcast last week with my starts and sits, that he was a boom bust for me. Like you can play him, but it's not guaranteed that he's going to get you a big game. I mean, he only gave you two receptions for 12 yards. So it's just one of those things where it continues to, you have to continue to monitor it and go from there. And on the other side of the ball, Antonio Gibson, I mean, he had 13 carries for 69 yards. So, you know, a quiet game from him. Sterling Shepard continues to shine for the Giants. I think that, you know, even though he's a slot guy, he had 10 targets, he had 9 receptions for 94 yards. You know, I have Kenny Galladay on my team, and I had him on my bench because it just seems like it. I don't know if it's just he's dealing with his hamstring injury still or whatever, but it's still not looking like Kenny Galladay is, you know, just quite right. But it's one of those things. Sterling Shepard seems like the guy that's going to shine here as of right now. And Darius Slayton, he had the touchdown. He dropped another long touchdown too. But Terry McLaurin, massive game from him. 11 catches for 107 yards and a touchdown. You know, it's J.D. McKissic. He was quiet in the passing game last week. Had 5 catches for 83 yards. But it's one of those things where you probably benched him because J.D. McKissic, unless you're in like a deeper league, you're not going to play unless you really need flex help. But it's one of those things where this is kind of more of what we see from J.D. McKissic from the Washington football team. So that is the recap for the Giants versus the Reds. Almost said the Redskins. Oh, I just did say the Redskins, but the Washington football team. Let's go to the games that happened yesterday. Let's start off with the Falcons versus the Bucks. You know, the Bucks beat the Falcons 48-25. Matt Ryan, you know, he average game. He had 300 yards passing. He had 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. 2 were pick 6 by Mike Edwards. Tom Brady, another game of 4 touchdowns or more. He has 9 touchdowns in the first 2 games of the season. He had 5 touchdowns yesterday. I think this is what you're going to see with the Bucs team this year. You're going to see Tom Brady just have a massive season. Everyone is getting their fair share. Like Mike Evans didn't get anything. It's the Cowboys last week. He had 2 touchdowns yesterday. Godwin had a touchdown. Antonio Brown was quiet. On the ground, Mike Davis, he was my sleeper for this year with the opportunities that were there. And Cordell Patterson, honestly, is the one that's shining more than Mike Davis. Leonard Fournette, he led the game in carries for the Bucs with 11 carries for 52 yards. So a kind of quiet game from him. Kyle Pitts, he led the team with yards at 5 receptions for 73 yards on 6 targets, and then Calvin Ridley with 7 catches for 63 yards and a touchdown. Cordell Patterson, he gave you another 5 catches for 58 yards and a touchdown, so he's definitely going to be a waiver wire pickup for this week. He looks that he's going to be part of that offense in a significant role, so I think it's good that that we're kind of seeing him finally kind of be the guy that everyone thought he was going to be coming into the league. Like I mentioned, Mike Evans, good game from him. 5 catches for 75 yards and 2 touchdowns. Yeah, Chris Godwin had 4 catches for 62 yards and a touchdown. And Gronk continues to have 2 touchdowns a game. So right now he's on pace for like 34 touchdowns. So if you're able to pick up Rob Gronkowski, you're probably happy with him. You probably started him. Like I mentioned in my opener, like Antonio Brown had 1 catch for 17 yards and 3 touchdowns. Now, I would say this. There was a couple catches that Antonio Brown could have had. Good defense on the Falcons, but there's a couple he could have had. One, at least one touchdown, and then he had another long play that got the ball got batted down. But overall, I mean, you know, the Falcons made this game interesting. It was 28-25 at one point. And obviously, I'm watching this game because I'm a Bucs fan, but it got to the point where it was 28-25, and the Falcons, everything was going in the Falcons' direction. And all of a sudden, it was, we got a pick six, and then we got another pick six to kind of put the game. You know, put the game away, but it was by that third quarter, it was like, okay, what is going on? The Bucs are not playing like they should, but they came out and won that game. So Bucs go to 2-0, Falcons go to 0-2. Now going to the Bengals versus the Bears. The Bears won this game 20-17. Kind of a boring game to watch, to be honest with you. You know, like I said, Andy Dalton got hurt. Justin Fields came in, didn't really look good. He had 60 yards catch or throwing. He gave you another 31 yards on the ground. Joe Burrow, he struggled. You know, I was going against Joe Burrow yesterday, and he had, at one point, he had like 0.0, like 4 points. And then, of course, he comes back and throws 2 touchdowns, which really pissed me off. But it's the way fantasy is. Garbage time touchdowns or opportunities. I mean, the Bears have a good defense, and, you know, they're giving it to him all week or all game, and then he just happens to get his 2 touchdowns. Joe Mixon, pretty quiet game compared to last week. He had 69 yards on the ground on 20 attempts. David Montgomery, same thing. He had 20 carries for 61 yards. You know, Justin Fields, he ran the ball 10 times. From the wide receiver standpoint, Tyler Boyd, 7 catches for 73 yards. And then T. Higgins had 6 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. Jamar Chase had a touchdown. Darnell Mooney, he had 6 catches for 66 yards on 8 targets. And then Allen Robinson had 2 catches for 24 yards and a touchdown. So a quiet game from Allen Robinson, but he got his touchdown. I was going against Allen Robinson yesterday in fantasy too, so... And just another dagger. But overall, I mean, that is the Bears versus the Bengals. Now going to the Rams versus the Texans versus the Browns. This I didn't watch much of this game. I was watching the red zone majority of the day yesterday, and this game didn't come on too often. But key points is, you know, like I said, Tyrod Taylor went out of the game. He gave you a touchdown, but you probably weren't playing Tyrod Taylor. Anyways, Baker Mayfield, not a very good game from Baker Mayfield, pretty quiet. He had 213 yards and a touchdown with an interception. Mark Ingram continues to lead in rushing for the Texans. He had 14 carries or 41 yards. Didn't do much with that, but it looks like he's the lead back for the Houston Texans. So it's one of those things where I think it's all about game script, right? If Mark Ingram is... You know, if the Texans are winning, Mark Ingram's going to get his carries. If they're not, I feel like David Johnson's the guy that's going to get the third down work. You know, Philip Lindsay, he only ran the ball 5 times for 2 yards. So it just seems like right now Mark Ingram's their more effective back. Nick Chubb, good game from him again. He had 11 carries for 95 yards and a touchdown. Kareem Hunt had 13 carries for 51 yards. But then Kareem Hunt gave you only 1 catch. So Kareem Hunt, he's not his volume. He essentially got more volume yesterday than Nick Chubb. But his value in fantasy comes in being a flex based on his pass catching ability, because they bring him in, you know, for third down work and all that. And yesterday it just didn't go your way. I mean, usually he's better than that, especially in the game in the role that they're in, Chubb and Hunt. Going to the wide receivers, Brandon Cooks, you know, another good game, 9 receptions for 78 yards and a touchdown. He had 14 targets. They're not looking at anyone else. Brandon Cooks is the dude in Houston. Not, we had 5 players who only had 2 targets. No one else had more than 2 targets. So Brandon Cooks yesterday was being fed the ball. Brandon Cooks continue to be a good value pick right now in fantasy, because if he continues to get that target share, he's gonna give you points regardless of the outcomes of these games. He's gonna get you points. Hopefully he stays healthy, because it'd be nice to see what he does with a full season. And then on the Cleveland side of the ball, honestly, with Jarvis Landry going out, Demetric Felton, never heard of him. He had two catches for 51 yards and a touchdown. Harrison Bryant, the tight end, had four catches for 49 yards. Austin Hooper was 5 for 40 on 5 targets. So, kind of a crappy fantasy game from this, you know, from this game on its own. All right, so let's now move on to the Colts versus the Rams. This was a good game. I watched some of this game. Really good game. Rams won this game 27-24. Matthew Stafford, you know, he gave you, you know, 278 yards and 2 touchdowns and interception. Carson Wentz had 247 yards and a touchdown interception before he went out. Then Jacob Eason came in and pretty much ruined the game for them. Darrell Henderson, he had 13 carries for 53 yards and a touchdown. He gave you another 3 catches for 29 yards. He was doing pretty well, and then he went out with the rib injury. Then Sony Michel came in. He got 10 carries in his absence. So I think that, like I said earlier, monitoring Darrell Henderson, Sony Michel becomes a interesting pickup, because if Darrell Henderson can't go, that means that, you know, Sony Michel is the next guy up. And that's what they brought him in for. They brought him for depth. We know that Darrell Henderson is the guy in L.A., but now we have to figure out his injury status and go from there. Jonathan Taylor, he had 15 carries for 51 yards yesterday. You know, he continues to kind of be frustrating for fantasy owners, right? He was highly ranked in a lot of, like, everybody's rankings and all that stuff. And then you see him right now, only, you know, gain 51 yards, and he leads the league in carries inside the 10 right now. So, like, his opportunities are there, and he got stuffed a lot. I know the Rams are a really tough defense, you know, but he leads the league in carries inside the 10. There should be more touchdowns than this. It's just not happening for him. But Marlon Mack got 5 carries, and then, you know, Nyheim Hines, he kind of afterthought. He only had 1 catch and 1 attempt on the ground. Wide receiver, Cooper Kupp. I think this is Cooper Kupp season of him being the wide receiver 1. Everyone's going after Robert Woods. I was one who liked Robert Woods over Cooper Kupp. But Cooper Kupp, for the second straight week, has 2 touchdowns. He had 9 catches for 163 yards and 2 touchdowns yesterday on 11 targets. Robert Woods had 9 targets for, you know, he had 5 receptions for 64 yards. But Michael Pittman Jr., he had a very good game. He had 8 catches for 123 yards on 12 targets. Jack Doyle had 8 targets. He was 5 for 64. And then Zach Pascal, another game where he had a touchdown. So he was 5 for 38. So if you had played Zach Pascal, you know, at least you got his touchdown and all that. So you got you something. But if he didn't get that touchdown, it would have been a very dull game for him. And I think a lot of people had picked him up and played him based on the waiver wire pickups. But Michael Pittman looked good. He was questionable because of his injury, but he was active and had a very good game against a very good defense. All right, let's go to the Bills versus the Dolphins. Now, I watched this is the game I watched the most of yesterday, and, you know, just because I'm invested with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, and like I said, like my guys, like my stack is not really working well for me. I mean, they did connect for a touchdown, a short touchdown earlier in the game. But Josh Allen, I mean, he's just not, like, right now, he's not the Josh Allen that we had last year. He blows up the Dolphins every single time they play. He just had a very quiet fantasy game. I mean, they won 35-0, right? So the Bills had a good game overall. But from a fantasy standpoint, Josh Allen was pretty mediocre. Tua obviously was injured early, so no fantasy stats from him. Devin Singletary looked good. He had 13 carries for 82 yards and a touchdown. Zach Moss vultured some touchdowns. He had 2 touchdowns. Miles Gaskin, this is a tough matchup. He had 5 carries for 25 yards, and he gave you another 4 receptions for 21 yards. So, like I said, I had benched him for Cortland Sutton, which was the right move. But Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, Salvin Ahmed all had at least five carries. So they're distributing the ball evenly there, which is concerning for Miles Gaskin, because he's very talented, and they're not giving him the volume. And then from the receiving standpoint, Stephon Diggs still led the Buffalo Bills with receiving for 4 catches and 6 yards and a touchdown on 8 targets. But that's you expect more efficiency from that. You expect that, you know, if he didn't have his 41 yard reception, I mean, that's a very quiet game from a guy that's considered a stud wide receiver. from a fantasy standpoint. And like it, you know, he was highly ranked, drafted probably in the first at least two rounds, right? And he's just not giving you what you hoped so far. I mean, it's not like a bad game, not a bad stat line when it comes to like PPR formats, but still something to hopefully gets better throughout the season. And then on the Dolphins side of the ball, Jalen Waddle, the rookie from Alabama, continues to look good. He had 6 hits of 48 yards. He led the team on 8 targets. Devontae Parker had 9 targets. Mike Gesicki looked a little better this game. He had 3 hits for 41 yards. So, you know, overall, Dolphins, you know, if they lose Tua for any extended amount of time, I mean, the Dolphins have a good defense, right? But 3-5-0, I mean, that's a tough outing for the Dolphins. All right, let's go to the Patriots versus the Jets. This was ugly. So we play in a 2 quarterback league, and I have Mac Jones and Zach Wilson as my two. So I have Josh Allen as my number 1 quarterback, and then my 2 other quarterbacks are Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. I like them both. There's no way I was playing Zach Wilson versus a Patriots defense, especially Bill Belichick. He just embarrasses rookie quarterbacks, and it showed yesterday with Zach Wilson. He had 4 interceptions, only had 210 yards. I mean, I played Mac Jones, not much better. I mean, he was at least positive numbers, right? Like Mac Jones had 186 yards, but no touchdowns. You know, it's just, you know, you need that volume. You need to be able to have touchdowns from your quarterbacks. You can't expect to win your fantasy matchup, especially when you play in a 2 quarterback league or a super flex league, and not get a touchdown from your quarterback. So that's what sucks. Like, I made the right choice, right, playing Mac Jones over Zach Wilson, but still it's so frustrating because I wanted to hopefully this was a good matchup for Mac Jones, just to end up, you know, turn into anything. But Damian Harris, he had a good game, 16 carries for 62 yards and a touchdown. What's good about this is that James White's a guy that needs to be picked up in your league, especially in PPR leagues, because he has value. You know, he has 6 catches for 45 yards. He ran the ball in for a touchdown, 5 carries for 20 yards. So I know Damian Harris is the guy, but James White is going to be involved, and he's a good flex play. He seems to be like a safe flex play, especially with Mac Jones at quarterback. So I think he's a guy, if he's available on your waiver wire, I would pick him up. And the story for the New York Jets with the running backs, Michael Carter, he had 11 carries for 59 yards. Ty Johnson had 12 carries for 50 yards. And Tevin Coleman was down to 5 carries for 24 yards. So it's almost like you're kind of seeing like this shift now. Are they going to start giving Michael Carter more opportunities? Because he gave you 2 catches for 29 yards as well. So like, I think it's getting to the point where, you know, they see that Michael Carter is the more talented running back. And I think we're going to start seeing that shift. So hopefully we see that soon. Because I have him stashed on my bench, and hopefully it turns out to something. When it comes to receiving, like I mentioned, James White, he led the team in receiving. He had 6 targets. He totaled 6 targets with Jacoby Myers. Hunter Henry had 2 catches for 42 yards. Just like very low stat line for the receivers. For the Jets, I mean, Corey Davis was shut out this game. He had 2 catches for 8 yards. Braxton Berrios was the guy who led the team, 7 for 73 on 11 targets. Elijah Moore had 4 catches for 47 yards on 8 targets. So pretty quiet game overall for the Jets. I mean, this was an ugly game, but that's what Bill Belichick does when it comes to, making teams look just embarrassing teams based on their, you know, rookie head coach, rookie quarterback. It was just a practice game for them pretty much. Now going to the 49ers versus the Eagles. This was a 17-11 win for the 49ers. Fantasy wise, very quiet overall. I mean, Garoppolo was very quiet. Jalen Hurts was quiet. I had no touchdowns yesterday. He had a rushing touchdown, but other than that, super quiet. The waiver wire darling of the week, Elijah Mitchell, 17 carries for 42 yards. Jamichael Hasty had 5 carries. Jimmy Garoppolo ran the ball 11 times. I mentioned Trey Sermon had 1 carry. You know, I'm sure a lot of people, majority of the people who picked up Elijah Mitchell played him yesterday, and they were disappointed. And this was something that you had to expect, you know, with Raheem Mostert going out and then Elijah Mitchell, you know, being the guy that was going to be the beneficiary from that. You know that Kyle Shanahan's going to ship the ball evenly. He did get the most carries, right? He just didn't do a lot with it. But it's one of those things where you're disappointed if you played him. And then from the wide receiver standpoint, Deebo Samuel had a very good game, 6 catches for 93 yards on 8 targets. Brandon Ayuk, he finally was on the stat sheet. He had one catch for 6 yards and two targets. So that's better than last week. He's trending in the right direction. So hold on to Elijah Mitchell. I'm sorry, Brandon Ayuk, and hopefully he'll have two catches for, I don't know, 12 yards next week on three targets. And then George Kittle, he had four catches for 17 yards. Very quiet game from him. From the Eagles standpoint, like I said, Quez Watkins, he had two catches for 117 yards and two on two targets. He had 91-yard reception. And then after that, very quiet game from the Eagles offense overall. I mean, you only scored 11 points, so not going to really do much. Big difference between week one and week two. Let's go to the Raiders versus Steelers. The Raiders won this game 26-17. Derek Carr looked phenomenal. He continues to be underrated. I like Derek Carr a lot, and the fact that he gets all the hate that he does. I mean, Derek Carr is a very good quarterback. Big Ben, very quiet game from him. Peyton Barber, because Josh Jacobs was out, he's the one who led the backfield with 13 carries for 32 yards. Kenyon Drake had 7 carries for 9 yards. Najee Harris, fantasy-wise, had a decent game because he gave you 5 catches, 43 yards, and a touchdown. But as a runner, he was only 10 for 38 yards. So very, very quiet game on the yard, on the ground for him. But overall, fantasy-wise, he did pretty well. From the wide receiver standpoint, Henry Ruggs led the team. He had 5 catches for 113 yards and a touchdown. Darren Waller, I mean, 5 catches for 65 yards, so a pretty quiet game from him based on what we usually see from him. From the Steelers standpoint, Deontay Johnson, 9 catches for 105 yards and 12 targets. Chase Claypool, 3 for 70 on 9 targets. Najee Harris was 5 for 43 with a touchdown. And then Juju was 6 for 41 on 7 targets, but he gave you a touchdown on the ground. So Juju continues to be decent fantasy-wise throughout the first 2 weeks, but overall, Raiders, you know, 2-0 so far, beating the Raiders and the Steelers. Those are two tough matchups to come out with wins. But moving on to the Panthers versus Saints. This is a day and night compared to what we saw last week versus the Packers. But the Saints, man, they look like trash. Jameis Winston looked like trash. He looks like Jameis Winston I know of from the Bucks. Just turnovers, just didn't do well. You know, Sam Darnold looked good. You know, he had 305 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception. But the main thing that's like, this is something I was worried about Alvin Kamara. So Alvin Kamara had only 8 carries for 5 yards, 0.6 yards per carry. That is concerning for me. I'm a huge Alvin Kamara fan. He's my favorite player to watch. And when Drew Brees retired, I was off of him in fantasy because of not knowing what to expect from that Jameis Winston or a Taysom Hill quarterback in the team. And I'm not saying this is going to be what happens to Alvin Kamara all throughout the season, but it's not looking good so far. Like last week, he did have a touchdown, but the volume and just the efficiency, I'm just nervous about him. I had opted for Dalvin Cook over Alvin Kamara this year, and it's just one of those things where, just from a Kamara fan, I hope that this team continues to feed him the ball, especially with Michael Thomas not being there and they don't have the weapons. Like, I don't know. It's just frustrating to see such a talented player just not have a good start of the season. And then we got Christian McCaffrey. He had a touchdown finally. He had 24 carries for 72 yards. He had a really cool touchdown run. From the wide receiver standpoint for the Saints, little Jordan Humphrey, he had one catch for 27 yards. He led the team. He had 27 yards. And he led the team in receiving on one reception. Alvin Kamara was 4 for 25. Juwan Johnson, the guy who had 2 touchdowns last week, the tight end that converted from wide receiver to tight end, 1 catch. Chris Hogan, 1 catch. Deontay Harris, 1 catch. Marquez Callaway, 2 catches. Ty Montgomery, 1 catch. Like, that's they threw the ball. I mean, 11 completions on 22 attempts for Jameis Winston. That is not good. DJ Moore, he had 8 catches for 79 yards and a touchdown. He continues to be 11 targets. Christian McCaffrey had 5 catches for 65 yards. Robbie Anderson was 3 for 38, but he's always going to be a boom bust guy for you. But overall, I mean, Panthers got the win, and the Saints just look night and day different, you know, from week one to week two. Going to the Denver Broncos versus the Jags. You know, we got, let's see, 23-13 win for the Denver Broncos. They go to 2-0, and the Jags go to 0-2. Teddy Bridgewater, good game from him. 328 yards and 2 touchdowns. Trevor Lawrence, not good. 118 yards and a touchdown and 2 interceptions. I think this is by far, I mean, looking at Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Like, it just, the rookies are not playing well, you know, to start, you know, to say the least. I mean, I know Trevor Lawrence had three touchdowns last week, but he had three interceptions. I mean, Mac Jones right now is playing the most turnover-free season so far. I mean, from the rookie quarterbacks, but, you know, he's there's not a lot of volume there for him anyways, but, like, it just right now, there's not one guy that really stands out to me. And it's only 2 weeks, right? But I just think that we're going to hopefully see more of the separation of, like, Trevor Lawrence being the number one overall pick compared to, like, Mac Jones. They're all first-round picks, but, like, hopefully we'll start seeing that separation on why Trevor Lawrence is taking number one overall and the talent that we know he is. But just a bad game yesterday. On the ground, Javonte Williams had 13 carries for 64 yards. Melvin Gordon had 13 carries for 31 yards. So this is the same thing that happened last week. They both had evenly the same amount of attempts on the ground, but Melvin Gordon had the long run and the touchdown. But I do think, just like the Jets with Michael Carter, I do think that Javonte Williams is going to continue to get the bulk of the carries. You know, he had 4.9 yards per carry compared to Melvin Gordon, who's 2.4. So I do think that it does cap his upside, but I do think that Javonte Williams can definitely continue to start getting that lead back role. James Robinson, he led the backfield with 11 carries for 47 yards. So a quiet game from him. Carlos Hyde only had two attempts for 7 yards. Big game from the wide receivers for the Broncos. Cortland Sutton, 9 catches for 159 yards. He had no touchdowns, but he had 12 targets. The closest person to him had 6 targets. That was Noah Fant. Tim Patrick and Noah Fant got the 2 touchdowns. But this is the Cortland Sutton that we know is the talent. He is a very good wide receiver with Jerry Jeudy now being out. I hope this continues. He had a plus matchup against the Jags, but I hope this continues to be what Cortland Sutton continues to do, because he's that talented. And so hopefully he continues to progress in that direction. And like I said, Noah Fant had 4 catches for 33 yards and a touchdown. Tim Patrick had his touchdown. So if you had played Tim Patrick in a pinch for a flex, I mean, you can't be mad with that stat line. The Jags, Marvin Jones with 6 catches for 55 yards and a touchdown. And that was really a lone touchdown right there. And then DJ Chark disappointed. He was 1 catch for 19 yards. And then Laviska Shenault had 2 catches for -3 yards on 7 targets. So good for him. Now let's move on to the Vikings versus the Cardinals. This is a crazy game. The Cardinals won this game because of a missed field goal by the Vikings kicker. But they won 34-33. Kirk Cousins, he's looking good, man. He's you know, had 244 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns. I'm sorry, 244 yards in the air and 3 touchdowns. Kyler Murray is the MVP of the league right now. This dude is unstoppable. I mean, the dude gives you, you know, touchdowns. He's a dual threat. He is the definition of a elite dual threat running back and quarterback. Like, just that ability that he has. I mean, the throw for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns and give you another 31 yards on the ground, another touchdown. Like, Kyler Murray by far right now is the MVP of the league if he continues to play like this. He's unstoppable. I mean, they intercepted him twice, but, like, this dude's just unstoppable. Dalvin Cook, he had 22 carries for 131 yards. Chase Edmonds and James Conner, they both got 8 carries. Chase Edmonds had the more yards, but continues to be a split backfield. And for the receiving standpoint from the Vikings, KJ Osborne had 5 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen both had a touchdown. Justin Jefferson led the team in targets. But so far, kind of a quiet start for Justin Jefferson for his sophomore season. Dalvin Cook got you 2 catches for 17 yards. What's interesting about the Cardinals, Rondale Moore, he had 7 catches for 114 yards and a touchdown. You know, he's the rookie that, you know, he was talked about as a waiver wire pickup. You know, everyone's picking up Christian Kirk. He gave you 3 catches for 65 yards. But Rondale Moore, I mean, 2 weeks in a row, like, that's consistency. So I'm generally a rule of 3 guy. So if he does it for a 3rd week in a row, I'm going to start feeling a little more confident in playing him. But it's one of those things where I just need to see one more week from him. And then hopefully he's going to be a guy that I can, you know, have on my bench or stash. And then hopefully have him play if I need a flex or a bye week fill in. AJ Green, he finally came around and he had a touchdown yesterday too. So long live AJ Green. But it just, when you see a game like this where it's a very good game overall, and you see a kicker miss a field goal, it's like, oh man, it just sucks. It sucks to see, you know, you have one job to do. Your job is to kick the ball through the uprights And it was a pretty, like, I don't, obviously I can't kick a football that far, but like, it just, for me to see, like, your job is to kick field goals and make them. And that's the difference between being a playoff team or not being a playoff team is a player's ability to do that. And it just sucks to see that it happens every single week that a team loses because of that. And it's just, you know, we'll see if they continue to keep him on the roster or they're looking for new kickers. Let's go to the Cowboys versus the Chargers. The Cowboys won this game 20-17. Overall, just a fancy wise, just not very good, right? Like, Dak Prescott had a dud game. Justin Herbert, he was all right. I think the biggest standpoint here is that I think Tony Pollard, I think he needs to be the starter for the Cowboys. I mean, Zeke does not look the same. Zeke got the most carries. He had a touchdown. He had 71 yards, but Tony Pollard looks more explosive. You know, he had 13 carries for 109 yards. He had 8.4 yards per carry. Like, is it too much of a hot take to say that maybe Tony Pollard should be the starter? It just seems like he just has more explosiveness. And, you know, Zeke, I like Zeke. Zeke, you know, I have him on one of my rosters, but like, I also have Tony Pollard on one of my rosters too, and I would love to have Tony Pollard in my lineup. Just for depth and everything like that, but it just seems like this is 2 weeks in a row that he's led the team in fantasy points for the Cowboys. And then going to the Chargers, Austin Eckler had 9 carries for 54 yards. He had 9 catches for 61 yards. So, like, not a bad fantasy game from Austin Eckler, but, you know, that's what he is. He's not going to give you a lot of volume on the ground, but for him to be a top 5 fantasy running back, he needs to get more carries and more yardage. But through the air, we got CeeDee Lamb. He had 8 catches for 81 yards on 9 targets. So out of all the Cowboys wide receivers, he's the one who did the best. Amari Cooper had 3 for 24. So a massive difference between week 1 and week 2. I mean, week 1, the Bucs just had a depleted secondary, and they're just picking on their corners all night. And, you know, the corners are obviously better for the Chargers, and you saw that Amari Cooper got shut down. Keenan Allen, good game, 4 catches for 108 yards. Mike Williams, I had started him this week, 7 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown. I just hope that we can see him stay healthy the whole entire season, because this dude is so good. He's athletic, he's physical, he's big. I just hope that Mike Williams, we can see him play, because it is an awesome treat to see Mike Williams, you know, get the role that he's in right now and hopefully flourish in that role. So, but overall, kind of quiet game fantasy-wise from the Cowboys. Let's move on to the Titans versus the Seahawks. I live in Seattle, and so this was an interesting game to see. The Titans won this game in overtime, 33-30. Ryan Tannehill, you know, he had good yards. He had no touchdowns at all, other than it was just pretty much a Derrick Henry show all day. Derrick Henry had 35 carries for 182 yards and 3 touchdowns, a 60-yard touchdown. Massive game from him. Russell Wilson, he had 343 yards and 2 touchdowns. Chris Carson, he gave you 13 carries on 31 with 31 yards and 2 touchdowns. No one else really touched the ball from the rushing standpoint. Julio Jones had a really good game. I think he had a touchdown. He had 6 hits for 128 yards. That's splitting hairs on if his heel was touching the white paint. I mean, come on. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous, but it was I still think it's a touchdown. I don't think that was a bad call by the refs. It would just not, I mean, if you're talking about one blade of grass being white and his heels on, it doesn't mean he's out. I mean, it is what it is. But Derrick Henry gave you 6 catches for 55 yards. I mean, if he continues to get targets like that and he catches those and he gives you the rushing ability he does, I mean, Derrick Henry is a freaking monster, man. Like, you know, just crazy. AJ Brown, pretty quiet. He was 3 for 43. Tyler Lockett, he has a second week in a row. He had a massive game. He had 8 catches for 178 yards and a touchdown on 11 targets. DK Metcalf did not do the same with his targets. He had 11 targets as well. He had 6 for 53. Then Freddie Swan, he had 5 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown. So just a bad home loss for the Seahawks. I mean, that's the first game in, what, a year and a half since last year that we've had fans in that stadium. That's supposed to be one of the loudest stadiums in the league. And the Titans came in and just quieted down. So, you know, it is what it is. Now moving on to the Sunday night game, we got the Ravens versus the Chiefs. The Ravens won this game 36-35. A very fun game to watch. Wasn't fun for me fantasy-wise because I was going against Travis Kelce, so he did Travis Kelce things. But Patrick Mahomes, you know, 343 yards and three touchdowns, an interception. Lamar Jackson, not very good on in the air. He had 239 yards and a touchdown, two interceptions on the ground. He was 16 for 107 and two touchdowns. Tyson Williams, he had 13 carries for 77 yards. Latavius Murray had 9 carries for 36 yards and a touchdown. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he had 13 carries for 46 yards. You know, I don't know. It's hard to get a gauge on this guy. He had a fumble late in the game that cost them. But, like, I don't know. I just don't know if he's the back that we had hoped for. I don't think he's the back that we expected when coming out of LSU. So, he's on a high-powered offense. He's getting the opportunities. He's just not doing a lot with that. And this is something that we saw back, you know, back last year, that he had majority of carries inside the 5-yard line, and he just couldn't convert those into touchdowns. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, he seems to be just he's definitely a guy you have to play, like, especially in your flex. But I don't know. I need to see more out of him based on just where he was drafted and value wise. Because people who had drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire have to play him every week. Because if you did like a zero running back strategy, you're hoping that he's the one who has some upside to get you, you know, an RB2 numbers and all that stuff. But he's not doing it for you right now. Now going to the wide receivers, Travis Kelce had a monster game. He was 7 for 109 and a touchdown on 8 targets. Mecole Hardman had a good game. He was 5 for 55. Tyreek Hill, he was quiet, 3 for 14. The Baltimore Ravens, Marquise Brown, 6 for 113 and a touchdown. He 2 weeks in a row right now, he's very consistent. So this is good for Marquise Brown starting to kind of be that guy in Baltimore. Mark Andrews was 5 for 57. Sammy Watkins, he was 4 for 44. He had a kind of crucial drop, but didn't cost him the game overall. But the Ravens beat the Chiefs. And this is, you know, this is the game. This is a playoff preview. I mean, they're gonna play again this year. And this was a good game, a good Sunday night game. 2 weeks in a row that we got some pretty decent Sunday night games. And so now we got the Monday night game, the Lions versus the Packers. So we have to, like, go from this high of the Baltimore Ravens versus the Chiefs to this dud game of watching the Lions on Monday night football. Like, it's kind of ridiculous, to be honest with you. But that is all the recap for week two. Now let's talk about who I thought was the most impressive for this week, right? I end this podcast with the 5 most impressive, 5 most disappointing. And I think, you know, honestly, the top performer is Derrick Henry at 237 yards from scrimmage, 3 touchdowns. And this is the first, so Derrick Henry right now, so he has 10 right now. He is the most games for 150 plus yards and 2 rushing touchdowns since like 1950. He is 10th. Like, he has 10 of them, and Jim Brown has 13. So at some point, Derrick Henry is going to be the top guy on this list. So he is definitely looking good. So Derrick Henry, top performer. Kyler Murray, 400 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown. Cooper Kupp, 9 receptions for 163 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Lamar Jackson overall had a good game. Gave you 2 rushing touchdowns, 107 yards on the ground, and a touchdown through the air. Tom Brady, 5 touchdown passes for 276 yards. So those are my 5 most impressive players for week 2. My 5 most disappointing. It goes to 2 Cowboys. We got Dak Prescott, did nothing yesterday in fantasy. Just, you know, big difference between week 1 and week 2. Same thing with Amari Cooper. He's on this list. Jonathan Taylor had a very quiet game against the Rams. Based on the volume, based on the opportunities that he gets, he's not converting those into touchdowns. So he needs to start stepping it up, because this is something we saw last year. Like, he had a very good end of the season. He had a very good playoff schedule, which bumped up his overall end of season rankings where he was at. But he was like the RB19 before like week 11. So like, Jonathan Taylor needs to step it up a little bit. AJ Brown had a quiet game, you know, but it was Julio Jones who had the game, you know, the bigger game. So I think it's going to happen like that throughout the season. If AJ Brown's having a big game, that means Julio Jones was being, you know, stopped, and then vice versa. And then my last guy on this list is Alvin Kamara. Just not what we're used to. You don't usually see Alvin Kamara have 8 carries for 5 yards and no touch. Like, it just doesn't happen for him. So he's on this list, and hopefully it doesn't continue to be that way. But those are my 5 most impressive and 5 most disappointing. Like I said, we have Monday Night Football tonight versus the Packers versus the Lions. So that's it for today's podcast. Now, don't forget that if you have any fantasy football questions throughout the week, please send me a message on Instagram at Gridiron Fantasy Football, and please follow us there as well. But don't forget to, you know, hit subscribe so you don't miss any more of these episodes. And then tomorrow I got my waiver wire show. That'll be up on YouTube as well. So I have it on the podcast platform, but also on YouTube for my top waiver wire pickups. So don't forget to watch that or listen to that tomorrow. And so if you also want to follow us on social media, we're at the Gridiron Pod on Facebook and Twitter. And like I said, we're on Instagram at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So that's it for today. Hopefully, you know, what you guys have to do to, in order to win for this this week in fantasy, I have to make sure that Davante Adams has less than like 7 points, which is going to be impossible to do. But that's how I would win if he has less than 7 points. But hope you guys enjoy the show, and we'll see you tomorrow for my top waiver wire pickups for week 3. Take care.